Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
Open your Bibles to John with me, John chapter 13, and Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Have your way, touch our lives, touch our hearts, as only you can touch our hearts, Lord. And Father, we don't want to be playing church. We don't need another religious experience. What we need is a touch from your Spirit. Touch our hearts, Lord, as only you can touch our hearts. Amen. Just for a moment. Switch your head off. Just for a moment. Just to experience the love of God, the grace of God. I'm just so grateful for his unconditional love and his grace. Where would we be without the grace of God? And Father, we just thank you. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus writes, this is the night before the crucifixion. And he writes, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I've loved you. The same degree that I've loved you is how you need to love other people. And he goes on to say, is that right? That you have loved one another by this, by what? By this love. Will all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. You know, I just like sharing what God's dealing with me about. I find that a lot of Christians just ignore this. They just find it too hard, so they ignore it. Shall we have an altar call for liars? Don't look at me so super spiritual. Watch out, your halos don't slip down and strangle you to death. You know what I'm talking about. I might have been born at night, but not last night. My head's not zipped up the back, Jack. I've ministered for a long time. You know, and I'm just saying to God one time, I said, that's too hard. How can you love the when you live next door to the neighbour from hell? Throws rubbish over. Is this right or not? Hello? Throws rubbish over you. Anyway, we're not going there. Is that right? And the Lord just spoke to me one time. He said, well, maybe that's because you've never really experienced my love. Wow. There's more word in Greek. There's more than one word for love. Phileo, brotherly love, storgio, eros. But unconditional love is agape. The unconditional love. You know, as I say, I just find that the vast majority of people I minister to just tell me, I don't feel worthy of God's love. You'll never feel worthy of God's love. Is that right? That's why it's called unconditional love. My wife, maybe about a year ago, a little bit longer, went to funeral of one of her friends, pastor's wife. But before she died, she shared with Jen, this is a pastor's wife, she said, I believe that she's dying of cancer. Said, I believe this is God's judgment on my life. Jen said, no, that's not right. God loves you. Is that right? God's not a killer. I've never believed in my life that God made you sick. Never from the day one that I got saved. The man that led me to the Lord taught me the fatherhood of God. I've never believed God made you sick. I've never believed that God put you through tests and trials. Hey, we talk about walking through the wilderness 40 years. Jesus went through the same wilderness in 40 days. One was because of unbelief and one was because you believed. Hello, is that right or not? That was, anyway. So, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm just thinking, well, maybe I've never really experienced God's love. In 1 John chapter 4, and I love John. I've been studying him for quite a while now. This is the disciple whom Jesus loved. And he writes in 1 John, let me just give you a little background. You know, if you want to read the Gospels, the first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, is called the Synoptic Gospels because they're written within 6 to 12 months of Jesus' death. John's is written 65 years later, at the end of his life. Here's a man, is that right? He's the only disciple whom doesn't die a martyr's death. The others all die. Is that right or not? Hello? He's the only one that has a revelation of the grace of God. I believe he's the only one that has a revelation of God's love for him. He calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. Jesus loved them all. But he's the only one that realizes it. The unconditional love of God. Peter says, oh, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Who's going to sit at the right hand of the Father? Got his foot in his mouth half the time. He says to Jesus, is that right? If everybody else quits, you can rely on the big Pete, the big fisherman. Yeah, right. He quits first because it's all about self, trying to do it yourself and your own strength. Man, I'm so tired of that. you know, this is me. If it's not God, I don't want to be doing it. That's just me. I don't want to be doing it anymore. If it's not God, go for it. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't work. But here, John, you know, he's the only one that talks about the grace of God. He writes in his gospel that the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And so he writes here in 1 John, in chapter 4, verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. But he who does not love does not know God, for God is love." It doesn't say God has love, it says God is love. If you can't remember anything else in this message, remember God is love. In the tough times at 3 o'clock in the morning, hello, when we've just had a wonderful service, hallelujah, praise God, you go home 3 o'clock in the morning and symptoms hit your body, the devil says, "I'm going to kill you right now," remember this, God is love. And love never fails. They tried to kill John, is that right? Tried to boil him in oil. People think he died on the Isle of Patmos, but he didn't. He went back to Ephesus and took care of Jesus' mother for the rest of her life. Because love never fails. I love that. Man, the more I'm just so wrapped in the graciousness of God, the grace of God, you know, the unconditional love of God. Man, I love that. God is so approachable. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? And he says, if you don't know, I don't believe that John's trying to make us feel guilty. What he's saying is, then maybe you don't really understand the unconditional love of God. One translation actually says, if you don't know love, you've got a wrong comprehension of God. I like that. Anyway, and if you read on a little bit first in verse 16, this is, "We've known and believed that the love that God has for us, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us that we may have what? Boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is in this world, so are we. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." I love it. I used to beat my people up. I said, "You've got to love God more." And then God spoke to me. He said, "Well, why are you beating your people up?" To try to achieve something that they're unable to achieve. How could you possibly have perfect love? It's not talking about your love for God. It's talking about God's love for you. Perfect love. You get a revelation of how much God loves you, just like you are. It casts out all fear. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, a friend of mine's a pastor in the United States, and not long ago, he was having an operation, or actually it was after, and something happened, and it was an artery burst or something, and so they raced him off in the ambulance. On the way to the ambulance, he says, "You know what?" He said, "I had such a presence of God in the ambulance." Only a young man, he said, "I came to the place, I didn't care whether I lived or died." He said, "There was such a presence of God's love." He said, "The only reason I fought to stay here was because of my wife and my family." He said, "I have no fear of death whatsoever." Perfect love. Wouldn't that be wonderful to have that perfect love that you don't even fear death anymore? Can I have an amen? I had a person in my church that died and came back, and he said, "I have no fear of death." He said, "It was when I got over there, the colors, the love is inexpressible." What does Paul write? "I can't decide whether to stay or to go." Is that right or not? See, that's hard for us to comprehend. But when you get a revelation of God's love for you, you know, as I say here, and Jesus said, "The same degree that I've loved you is how you need to love other people." But how can you pass it on if you've never experienced it yourself? You can't give what you don't possess. Can I have an amen or what? You know, I just love the goodness of God, the grace of God. I just stand in awe at the grace of God, God's goodness in my life. Hey, I'd be alive if it wasn't for God's grace, for God's goodness. You want to know what the last verse is in the Bible, in the book of Revelation? It talks about God's grace. Read it for yourself. The last verse talks about God's grace. I love that. Some people are looking at me real strange. Go to Ephesians with me. Paul is another one. How many of you know Paul? Every letter that he writes talks about the grace of God, the goodness of God. Can I have an amen? In Ephesians chapter 3, and he's writing to the church in Ephesus. I shared in the first service, not a small church, maybe 50,000, maybe 100,000 people in this church. And he writes in Ephesus, in the book Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13, he says, "Therefore I ask that you don't lose heart." A lot of people losing heart, people. Our suicide rate is off the Richter scale, particularly among our young people, as some of the older people, farmers. Is that right or not? You know, I was doing a pastor's leaders conference up in Toowoomba a little while ago, and this ex-pastor came out, and he said, you know, I'm an alcoholic. I try to kill myself, commit suicide. And he broke down. He just started to cry, and he sobbed, and he just sobbed. I didn't say anything. I just put my arms around him and told him God loved him. Anybody know what I'm talking about? For God so loved the world. Now, maybe the church doesn't, but God so loved the world. You know, I don't know about you, but I just find it so easy now to minister the love of God to people. Sit down with people in the street and say, what's happening in your life? They'll tell you what's happening. Well, I just lost your job. You know, and I'd say, you know what? God loves you. They don't know how to handle it. Ephesians chapter 3, he says, for this reason, that if I ask you, don't lose heart. And verse 14, for this reason, I bow my knee. For what reason? He's going to pray that you don't lose heart. He says in verse 16, he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. He's writing to believers in the church. Is that right? That you might have a revelation, that you might be rooted and grounded in love. See, if you know how much God loves you, they can't take that away from you. You can argue all you like doctrine. How can you argue with an experience that I've experienced the love of God? How do you argue with that? I lost a friend to a heart attack and I was depressed. I tell you before God, I was depressed. I'm sitting in a church in Singapore, just sitting there. And I hear the presence of God just came all over me. He said, I love you, Cole. I even like you. That does something for you. He even knows my name. Hello. Out of all those, and then he says, you know, when you confessed your sin, it's not when I found out about it. I've known you from the womb, and I love you. God loves you just like you are. This little lady here in the yellow, just a revelation. God loves you just like you are. All the bullying and things like that. If you just had an understanding God loves you, doesn't matter what's going on. Bullying, so what? God loves me. Can I have an amen? I love that. And he goes on to say here that you may be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what the width, the length, the depth, the height. See, the love of God is not one-dimensional. It's four-dimensional. That you might experience it, he goes on to say, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. There's some things you can't get out of a book. It has to be experienced, the love of God, for yourself, the family of God. Can I have an amen or what? You know, it's amazing to me. A lot of people think, you know, that we were created to worship God. Now, I'm wonderful to worship God. That's not the reason you were created. Other people think we were created to serve God. No, you weren't. I don't say we don't serve God, but that's not the reason you were created. You were created, listening, for fellowship. That God came down in the cool of the evening. Is that right? And walked and talked. Is that right? With Adam and Eve. He didn't have them sing and play and tap dance and play the banjo. Is this too deep? I'm not saying we don't do it. That's not the reason. See, it's all about family. God the Father, not El Supremo. Think about this. All the words, and I've been to Bible study. I've taught in Bible school. You know, we learn all the names for God. Is that right? El Shaddai and Jehovah Rapha and Jehovah Sidkenu and Jehovah Shaddai. That's wonderful. The only name Jesus ever used was Father. Daddy, is that right? Relationship. See, it's all about family, the family of God in heaven and on earth. If you can't remember anything else, remember family. So imagine I say to my wife, hey, what, you know, we need somebody to serve us. Let's have some kids. And what we'll do is when the kids come home from school, we'll go in our room, bedroom, and they can stand outside the door and worship us. And when we think they've worshipped us enough, we'll come out and they can serve us. Well, welcome to the real world, Jack. I serve my kids far more than they've ever served me. Is this too deep? The reason you had kids, unless you're a lunatic, was because you wanted somebody to love and fellowship. A family. It's a family of God. And he's talking about that you may be rooted and grounded in love. You might have a revelation of, is that right? To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. I love that. Is that right? He's talking to believers. He's talking about know intimately. You know people, but hey, there's a different knowing. The way that we know, the way I know my wife, A lot more intimate. Is that right or not? It's talking about the knowledge there. See, that goes beyond knowledge. See, we're dealing with issues of the heart, not the head. We're not talking about behavior modification. We're talking about heart transformation, that you might experience the love of God. You know, this is me. You know, we just recently had a conference on the Gold Coast, Ministers Conference, and we had this young man, Daniel Hagin. Some of you would know who he is. You know, transformation, some of the big, you know, revival meetings. When I meet him, he's got dreadlocks down the back. Well, man, that's a bit different to me. I said, you Bob Marley's brother. He said, you Boris Johnson's. I said, I like you already. I like you. And so he's talking to pastors and leaders. And he said, you may have more revelation of the Word of God than I do, but I think you've lost the ability to communicate with people. He said, what I'm going to do, this is Gold Coast. He said, at the end of the service, I'm going to go down to the Gold Coast into Surfers Paradise, and I'm inviting you to come with me. Well, maybe 30 pastors went down, and away they go. And they, you know, there's a guy working on a jackhammer. He just walks up and says, how are you going, mate? He said, yeah, pretty good. He said, you got a back problem? They go, I mean, this is an Aussie. He said, as a matter of fact, we've got a back of the blank, blankety blank, blank, back problem. Daniel says, can I pray for you? Pray who? Lays his hands on the guy, gets healed. He says, anybody else? And the guy said, oh, I've got a neck problem. Can you pray for my neck too? He led, listen to me, 20-odd people to the Lord in the streets. He just sits down and talks. What's happening with you? Not here's a track rammed down your neck, you mongrel. Just talked about the love of God. Is this too deep? Just talked about the love of God. Can I have an amen or what? You know, years ago, let me read you a scripture here because I love them. I've got to do this. We've still got time. This is from the Message Translation, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 to 2. Watch what God does and then do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents, mostly what God does is love you. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him. Learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. Is that awesome? What would your life be like? What would my life be like if we actually lived by this principle? Imagine what the potential would be. Is that right or not? So we're doing this conference in many years ago in Rhema Church in Perth, and it's a good church, 2,000 people. And one of the speakers, we're all meeting in the lobby, you know, this is before iPads, iPhones, things like that. So we've all got 15 translations of the Bible and a Bible big enough to choke a donkey, you know. And this man, Father Braun, comes on down. He's got a church in Seattle, Washington, Catholic priest. He comes down, he's got a little New Testament. He says, oh, you've all bought your big Bibles. He said, I don't bring mine. It confuses me too much. I mean, this is only the guy that's going to be speaking. And he got up and he said, I have a church of 2,000 people. He says, and all of my people are street people. If you come to my church, you'll find they're ex-prostitutes, ex-drug addicts. My people don't come from other churches. They're straight off the street. And he said, I just sit down with them and talk about the love of God. See, love is the engine that drives the world, people. Most people, all they're looking for, is that right or not? It's just some love. You were talking about those sex, you know, the Westerners over there. They're looking for something in the wrong place. Can I have an amen or what? Never experienced the love of God. Is that right or not? Man, the more that I'm in this, the longer I love it. And you cannot overemphasize the goodness of God, the grace of God, the love of God. You cannot overemphasize. You'll give some people a license to sin. You don't need a license. Don't lie. You're going to do it anyway. We're not talking about license to sin. We're talking about the deepest need that human beings have. The need to be loved, to be appreciated. Can I have an amen? You know, just think about that. Romans chapter 5, verse 5, what does it say? It says the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. Put your hand on your heart, come on. And say the love of God. Don't be rebellious, come on, say it. The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. That love is already here. You know, I get up in the morning and I look myself in the mirror and I say, the love of God, hello. How many? Because I miss it plenty of times. Don't look at me like that again. You know you missed it. Is that right or not? I'm on the roundabout. I hate those roundabouts. They're dent knockers' dreams. I'm on the roundabout in the Gog. There's somebody coming at me at the wrong way. They're driving the wrong way. So I'm doing it right. I'm actually in the right lane and somebody's tooting me and giving me the number one driver award. I said, I'm doing it right, you moron. Jen says, tell me again about the love of God. I said, shut up. I don't want to hear that. But that's not the real me. That's not the real me. The real me is loving. The real me is kind, because love is kind. The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. If you're going to study about love, you need to read the gospel that John wrote. Here's a man, listen to me, the last man at the cross, the first man at the tomb. A man that understands a revelation of, I believe, of God, of love, that the others don't have. Peter's full of himself. He's the first to quit. And John's the only man that stays loyal. He's the last one at the cross, and he's the first one at the tomb. He says, is that right? The disciple, he doesn't even call himself John. He identifies as the disciple whom Jesus loved. I like that. And he writes in 1 John, if you go back there with me, the 1 John chapter 3, I love, as I say, I'm studying him. He writes in 1 John chapter 3, and he says this, behold, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. Do a little word study. He's talking about a superlative. Today we'd go, wow, what is this love? What planet is this from? We've never experienced love ever in our lives like this. He's talking in superlatives, glorious, extravagant. One translation says, which has lavished on us. Extravagant, generous. And he's lavished us. Whoopee. I'm not being smart, but I just wonder how many people, even in the church, have really experienced love to that degree. Not something, oh, that's nice, let's move on to the next thing. Love's not just a message. Love's the engine that drives the world. God is love. Doesn't just have love. He is love. Go to 1 Corinthians with me quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Here, you know, here we have the three chapters where he's talking about the gifts of the Spirit, which is awesome, but the Corinthians were abusing the gifts. Is that right? They're prevalent in the gifts, but they're abusing the gifts. And so right in the middle of these chapters, he drops a chapter on love. It seems out of context to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to misunderstand. And then he's verse 31. But earnestly desire the best gifts. Go for the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. How could you have a more excellent way than operating in the gifts? He's not saying anything detrimental. What is he saying is what's the motivation of why you want to use the gifts. Is it selfish ambition? Is it money? Don't tell me those things aren't. Anyway, not going there. Chapter 13, following right on, he says in verse 1, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and I don't have love, I'm just a ding-a-ling. I'm just a clanging gong. Is that what it says or not? He goes on to say, and if I have the gift of prophecy, I understand all mysteries and all knowledge. I have the faith that I could remove mountains, but I don't have love. I'm nothing. Without the love of God, you and I don't have anything to say. We don't have a message, people. Can I have an amen? Amen. And if I bestow my goods to feed the poor and I give my body to be, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up, not rude. Is that right it says? Love is kind. I love that. You know, I'm not saying I've made it by a long shot, ask my wife, but I've come a miserable distance. I can tell the grace of God in my own life. Just the changes. Before we got saved, my wife wanted the luxuries of life like food and clothes. And I wanted the necessities like guns and outboard motors. The first area God ever dealt with me was selfishness. I said to my wife, was I really like that? And she said, you're a selfish mongrel. Well, thank you very much. Can I get a second opinion? But, you know, and I'm just saying the change, the grace of God. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd either be dead or my wife and I would have killed each other. I'm just so grateful. Anybody know what I'm talking about, or am I just flopping my gums here? You know, the Son, he's talking about love, the unconditional love of God. What is it? What's the motive why you want to use the gifts? People don't, if it's love, that's wonderful if you want to bless people, but is it to manipulate people? Is it for money or whatever? Is that what? That's what he's talking about, because he's talking to the Corinthian church who are misusing the gifts without love. He says, we're nothing. Unconditional love. I just stand in awe of God's love. I just stand in awe of God's love. So, what would your life be like? Go to Jude with me just before the book of Revelation. How many of you believe the Bible? Still believe the Word of God? Man, anyway. In Jude, I'm getting there. Just give me a minute. There's only one chapter. And in verse 20, he says this, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. And then he punches you between the eyes. Keep yourself in the love of God. That's New Covenant. Keep yourself in. Is that what it says or not? Well, how do you keep yourself in the love of God? Well, how do you keep yourself in the love with your spouse or your girlfriend? Is that right or not? You spend time together. You communicate. Is this too deep or what? Hello, is that right or not? You speak loving to one. Is that right or not? Remember when you, anybody remember when you're taking your girlfriend out? You know, I'm married to the love of my life for over 50 years. The last thing I would ever want to do, now I miss it plenty of times, but that's not the intent of my heart. The intent of my heart is I want to just bless my wife. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, that's why I know the goodness of God, the grace. I would sooner give things to my wife and my kids now than for myself. Now, that's got to be God. It has to be God. I'm not capable of doing that myself. It says, keep yourself in the love of God. You speak nicely. You communicate. You fellowship together. Remember when you first got going out with your girlfriend? She wants a cup of coffee. Oh, cup of coffee. Here it is. 20 years later, I need a coffee. Get it yourself. Do I lie? Hello, we'll have an altar call for liars. And God deals with me. My wife loves to shop. My wife's got a black belt in shopping. I hate shopping. I used to be 6'3" before I went shopping with my wife. Wore my legs off. And my wife loves me to go. And the Lord spoke to me. He says, is it so hard to shop with your wife? I said, watch my mouth. Yes, it is. If you can't be honest with your best friend, God, who can you be honest with? So the Lord spoke to me and said, well, she lays down her life for you, cooks your meals, does it. So off you go. Greater love is no man than he lay down his life. So away I went. I get a book and I go shopping. My wife said, well, you're here physically. You're not here mentally. I was reading a newspaper one time at the table. She set it on fire. That'll jerk your slack out of you real quick. And she said, you're here physically. You're not here mentally. Don't even meet. So now I go shopping before God. I go shopping with my wife. I went shopping with my wife, my two daughters. They went through 33 outfits and never bought one. I'm sitting over there with cobwebs hanging off my ears. I love it. Don't you love it? You're sitting there and some Sheila comes out with bathers on. I don't even know. And she says, how do these look? I said, okay, but for the hail damage. Don't ask if you don't want to know. And so, you know, but I'm just so grateful for the change in my own life. I'm just so grateful for the goodness, the grace of God. Let me give you one more scripture and we'll close. Now, let me give you another example. It gets better, bloke. It gets better. We've got a young man, well, not so young in our church, and he shared this at our church, so I'm not sharing. But he's been in the church for over 20 years. In a Word of Faith church, and he just recently got divorced. And so for the last maybe 6 to 8 months, they've been teaching on grace, the grace of God, the unconditional love of God, and he's been so impacted. So he came up and gave a testimony. He said, I've been in a church, not this church, for 20 years, and I realized I didn't even know what love was. And he rang his ex-wife. He said, I'm sorry. He said, I realized after being married to you for 15 years, I never even knew what love was. His ex-wife said, you don't even know what love is. You're in love with yourself. He said, I've had a revelation of the love of God, the grace of God. If I ever get another chance, he said, it'll be different next time. Wow. Does anybody want it? If you don't know love, then you don't even know God. Now, he's not saying that to make us feel guilty. What he's saying is that you need to go to another level, a deeper level. Is that right or not? Coming out of phileo, storgio, is that right? Into an agape, an unconditional love. How can we love? You can't do it in your own strength. I just can't. I'm not capable of that. And I'll close off with this, but where I live in my street, that spot the Aussie, like there's only two Aussies in the street. You know, we've got Japanese, we've got Chinese, we've got Taiwanese. Hey, one of South African, I've got no problem. 28 nationalities in our church in Darwin. Remember that? We even had a few Aussies in our church in Darwin. And so I said to my wife at Christmas, go and buy a whole bunch of chocolates and I'm going to knock on every door in the street. How do I talk to the Japanese? I don't speak Japanese. My Japanese is limited to Honda and Toyota. How do you talk to the Japanese? And I said, I'm going to start off with my Iraqi. I got an Iraqi doctor that lives next door to me. So I knocked on the door and I said, hey, doc, it's Christmas. I said, that means we give a gift. And I said, God loves you. And I said, I'm not trying to convert you, but here's the gift. He didn't handle it. Maybe he thought it was a bomb. I don't know what. I said, God loves you. I didn't say, I'm not trying to convert. I said, God loves you. Now when I walk up, he calls me by name, Cole. He says, Cole, will you put my bin out when I'm away? Will you keep an eye? Isn't that better? Hello? Yeah. I knocked on every door in our street and I wasn't refused once. And so next day, as God is my witness, I opened my letterbox and there's a pile of cards this thick. Thank you for your kindness. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just thank you for your kindness. It's so easy to share the gospel. It's so easy to share, just to sit down and talk. What's happening in your life? What's happening with you? Anybody? And you get all these opportunities. My wife and I work out at the pool 3 days a week. I've never told anybody I'm in ministry. But they keep coming up and saying, you know, I don't know why, but I just want to tell you, you know, I've got a problem with my family. I've got a problem with my marriage. And Jan says, can I pray for you? One lady said, oh, will that be a Catholic prayer? She said, it'll be a Christian prayer. Shut up. Here you go. The lady came back next day, and she said, next week, she said, will you do that thing again on my neck? That really hurt. That really helped. I've never told a person that I'm in ministry, but they gravitated all the time. Must be able to see something. One lady was so sick, she was off for 2 months with bronchitis, with the flu, and Jan rang her up. When she came back, she was crying. She grabbed Jan and kissed her, and she said, you know what? She said, Jen, you're the only person out of 120 people that come here that even called up to see if I was still alive. It's called the love of God. To the same degree that I loved you is how you need to love other people. Father, I just thank you for my brothers and my sisters. I speak the blessings of God over this congregation, Pastor Graham and Mel. Lord, I speak to the homes, the families represented here. I call you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath it. Whatever you turn your hands to shall prosper and succeed, that the enemy shall no longer find opportunities to come into your homes and rob and kill and destroy. That you would know the love of God that passes all understanding. That you would experience for yourselves and be rooted and grounded in the love of God. The unconditional love of God.